You have your Bible. I want to refer you to a passage of Scripture this morning. It's the first chapter of the book of 1 John. First chapter of the book of 1 John. I'm reading from the New International Version. The book of 1 John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard and which we've seen with our eyes and which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we've seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Now this is the message that we have heard and declare to you. God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from every sin. Now the word that I have underlined as I've gone through this passage is the word fellowship. The word fellowship. And it begins by saying that we have fellowship with God, and then if we have fellowship with God, we'll have fellowship with one another. It all became very apparent to me this last week. I made a little special trip up to Lexington, Kentucky, Wednesday of this week. I was supposed to meet with the sales and marketing division of the Zondervan Publishing Company, which is going to be marketing and selling my latest book, which will be out hopefully within the next month. Called A Way Through the Wilderness. And all of the salespeople had come in from all over the nation to gather at the Marriott Inn in Lexington, and I met with them and explained what the book was about, and we went through some of those procedures and so that they would be able to express that to the bookstores that they'll be selling the book to. But the meeting was, I didn't have to be up there until Thursday, and so Jackie and I talked about it earlier, and I decided that I would go up a day early. I have some relatives in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, which is right outside of Lexington. My mother's people are all from that area. My mother was raised in the little town of Winchester, right outside of Lexington. And then we have relatives still living in that area. In fact, it's the only area of the nation where we have family relatives. We have a few of my daddy's people who are still scattered around through Indiana, but I have not seen them in many, many, many years, 30 years perhaps. And the only other pocket of relatives we have is in the bluegrass country of Kentucky. And so I went up early, flew up Wednesday and drove across to the little town of Mount Sterling to meet with my cousins, my Kentucky cousins, the kissing cousins that we have in Kentucky. And an interesting thing has happened. All of the relatives that we have in Kentucky all live in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, one of those little tiny bluegrass Kentucky towns. And they all showed up Wednesday afternoon when I got there. Sarah Martha and Charles Barnes are kind of favorites of ours. They're first cousins, or half first cousins. You kind of lose that as you begin to trace that thing down after a while. But I'll not explain the intricacies of how my family is divided. But anyway, they are essentially Sarah Martha is a first cousin of mine, and And so I had written her and then called her ahead of time and said that I wanted to come up. Well, she was just delighted. She thought that would be the finest thing that could happen, was that her Florida cousin would show up. And so wanted to know if I could stay for dinner that night. And I said, yes, I could do that, because I did not have a schedule until the next day. And I told Jackie when I left, I said, this is so unlike me. I just don't go see relatives. Well, we don't have very many of them. And usually those that we have, I don't like to go see. And we don't have a lot in common, you know. I mean, my relatives and Jackie's relatives are all off doing other things. And this is my home here. You are my home. You're my people. You're my brothers and my sisters. And I feel very, very comfortable with you here. There's always something inside of me that wants to come racing back to Melbourne and be with the folks here. And so for me to take off and go to Mount Sterling, Kentucky was just entirely different, just cut across the grain of everything that I usually do. But we went on up there. I went on up there and got there in the middle of the afternoon, and it was a joyful kind of occasion. There's about 30 cousins that I have. They all live in Mount Sterling, and they all came by that afternoon. Every one of them dropped by the house, and they all brought some kind of little goodies, and then they all showed back up again at supper time, and we had a kind of a supper time together, and it was a delightful occasion. We sat there long into the evening, telling family stories and laughing and remembering all of the old things that had happened about Uncle Kenneth down in Carl Gables, who lived in the garage. He wouldn't live in the house with my aunt. Uncle Kenneth is a delightful fellow and is still alive. He's 86 years old now, and Uncle Kenneth is the curator of the museum in Miami. Well, that says a great deal about him. And he would drive back and forth from Carl Gables out every summer up to Chautauqua, New York, where he would teach at the big Chautauqua Conference Center up there. Uncle Kenneth always did things that just kept the rest of the family, we all stood back from him. He always had something wrong with him. His back was not good, and so Uncle Kenneth would strap a heating pad to his back, and then run the wire down his pants leg, and would go from room to room and plug himself in. And we always thought that was kind of interesting that he would do that. And he wore these great big Bermuda shorts, or 8 or 10 times too big for him, and suspenders. And he would, remember the time he wanted to lecture us on the butterflies from lower Argentina. So we, all the grandkids, gathered together, and Uncle Kenneth came in to lecture us on the butterflies from lower Argentina, and had these Bermuda shorts on with these suspenders, and they just kind of rested on the suspenders, and when he got excited, by the Bermuda shorts would go up and down. Uncle Kenneth wore an overcoat. Even in Florida, he wore an overcoat, and I asked him one time why he wore an overcoat, and he said, well, that was the only filing cabinet he had, and so he had the pockets all filled up with museum artifacts and everything. And he said this pocket was his trash can, and sure enough, it was. Well, anyway, we told Uncle Kenneth stories, and we told stories about my mother, and we told stories about Aunt Nell up in Kentucky, and we told stories about Uncle Harry, and we told stories about Colonel Thompson, who had sold his ox team and had moved across the mountains, and we just laid into the evening. We sat doing things that I don't ever do. I don't ever get involved in those kind of stories. I have much more important things to do than to do that. And it was one of the most delightful evenings that I have spent in a long, long time. And here are all the cousins, and they're all there, and some of them are old and some of them are young, and the grandkids had come in, I was part of the family, really very much a part of that family during that whole evening session, with all of the Barneses and the Henrys and the Ishmaels and all the rest who live up in Mount Sterling, Kentucky. They serve beaten biscuits And the only place I have ever seen a beaten biscuit comes out of the bluegrass section of Kentucky. Now, maybe they come from someplace else, but I've never seen one anyplace else. And these are little hard biscuits that are made out of flour and water and go through a process of being made. And so they had the beaten biscuits there, and I brought back a big thing of them, which we have at the house, and we're kind of nibbling on those as we go along. It takes us a year to eat through these things because they're really pretty hard and they taste kind of stale, but there's a lot of nostalgia that's connected with a beaten biscuit, and so we keep them around. Well, while all this was going on, I became aware of something that was happening inside of me that I'm not in touch with all the time. That I was part of a family. And even though I've to some degree divorced myself from these relatives out there, that I was part of this, and my strains go back, my heritage goes back. And we talked a little bit about family trees. I never have been interested in family trees. The only thing that we used family trees for was to hang people from. And we talked about family trees and where the grandfathers were and the great-grandfathers and where they came from and how they had settled in that area and many other things. And I began to have a feeling of roots, that there was a part of me that extends back into the soil of Kentucky. And yet I realized at the same time that there was another part of me that doesn't go back to Kentucky. It goes back to the time when I was 22 years old and stops there. If I trace my family tree back, it goes back to when I was 22 and makes a right turn towards Bethlehem and does not go to Mount Sterling, Kentucky. That there's a whole part of my life that where the genes and the chromosomes are not related to my mother and father and the relatives on their sides. But really, someplace back there, I plug into my Heavenly Father, and there is an inheritance that comes to me that makes a right angle turn at age 22 when I submitted my life to Jesus Christ and begins flowing through me from that time on. And that even though I am part of that crowd back in Kentucky and the remnant that's still left in Indiana, and my wife is still part of, well, she's a Florida cracker, and her mother and daddy are Florida crackers. Her roots go back into the sand soil of Florida and kind of disappear underground back near Lake City someplace. But with her also, that we don't trace ourselves back through that kind of lineage. We trace ourselves back to the place to where we met Jesus Christ. And from that point on, our fellowship is with Him. Now, what has happened to me is that I have divorced myself. And I became aware of that again this week. I've divorced myself from many of my own blood relatives because I have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that has become a very strong thing with me, extremely strong with me. But I realize that I've still got some relations back there. But then this interesting thing happened when I got back to Mount Sterling. I found out there's been a visitation of the Holy Spirit in that little town up there. And all of these Kentucky cousins have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was an exciting kind of thing to get there and find out that we're all reading the same books and watching the same television thing, and we're all getting the kind of the same message from God. And that was the thing that excited me in this. It was not just that I had blood relatives, but those blood relatives now had the same spirit that I had also. And it was an exciting time to come together because they knew me not just as their cousin, they knew me for who I was in the spirit at the same time. Now, this passage of scripture that I read to you just a moment ago from 1 John makes reference to that kind of thing. The life appeared And we've seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Now, I went up to Mount Sterling simply to pay what I thought was going to be a courtesy call on my mother's relatives. I know them, I love them, they're wonderful, sweet people, and I have to be careful what I'm saying because they're going to hear this tape, because they get all the tapes from the tabernacle. And I really do love you guys up there. But I went thinking I was going to be paying something of a courtesy call on my relatives. And when I got in there to find out that it was far more than that, that we're functioning at more than just a level of telling stories about our kinfolk, and we did that, and we had a good time doing that. We enjoyed telling stories about Beulah and Bertie and my mother Elvira and all the others who are such a vital part of that family. But the thing that really tied us together was not our family connections. The thing that tied us together was our relationship through Jesus Christ. That we have fellowship with one another because of Him. And our fellowship is with the Father also, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. John is writing to his friends, and he says, if you really want your joy complete, then let it be complete in Jesus Christ. You see, your family really can't be complete unless all of you are flowing in the Spirit of Jesus. That's the thing that ties us together as a family. Jesus said earlier, he said, this gospel that I preach is a dangerous kind of gospel. Because he says, if you don't all receive it, it will become a dividing point within you. In fact, he says, it's like a sharp two-edged sword that will cut asunder and will divide families, divide wives from husbands and mothers from daughters and fathers from sons. It will actually divide. The gospel does that. But if the whole family moves in the Spirit, then it unifies at the same time. And it unifies in such a way that there can never be those kind of divisions that will oftentimes divide families in the natural. My older brother was down last week, and he met with my mother, who's in her 80s now. And my brother drove down from Pennsylvania. He's retired from the Army, and he spent a week with my mom down in Vero Beach. And one of the things he did was to go over her will with her, what little bit she has and how she's going to divide that when she dies, because my father is dead, and so my mother is the last one, and so she has prepared a will, as every one of us should have, by the way, and has prepared a will, and has how she's going to distribute, if there's anything left, how that should be distributed into kingdom causes and towards the family. And we became aware again of how oftentimes families are divided when it's time to read the will. One brother gets more than the other. One sister gets the old chair, and the brother wanted the old chair. And somebody else gets the clock, and that's not right. I've had my name on that clock for all those years. And suddenly you find out that family ties are not enough to hold you together. And you realize that when it comes to material things. How quickly material things will divide families that are ordinarily very close together, unless you are unified in the Spirit. Now, if you're unified in the Spirit, then material things don't make any difference, because then you begin to defer one to another. In the natural, we'll take from one another, but in the Spirit, we defer to one another. We begin to think of each one better, and we begin to say, you know, I'd like for you to have that clock. You know, you've always liked that old chair. You should have that old chair. And I really don't need anything. And we become together in true fellowship when we're united in Jesus Christ. Now, the term that's used here is the Greek term koinonia, which means community. It means fellowship. Later on, John writing says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light of Jesus, our families will be united. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us from all of our selfishness, from every sin. So I want to encourage you this morning. I'm not going to preach at you this morning. I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to encourage you. But if you want your family to come together, then let it come together in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you just a categorical truth. It will never come together outside of Christ. There is no real unity for the family outside of Jesus Christ. It's hard enough between Christians, as some of you realize. But you'll never make it outside of Jesus Christ. But when you come together in Jesus, then there is real unity, and you have fellowship one with another. And that fellowship will bring you into a perfect kind of fellowship with the Father. We've been blessed in our household. All of our children have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. They did this at a very early age. We have encouraged them with this. We trained them up to that point, and they make commitments of their lives to Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that this is the thing that has held the Buckingham family together. We're constantly in touch with families to where the children are off. They have, for one reason or another, have thumbed their nose at their parents, or they have off into some kind of weird areas out there. And our children are all individualistic children. I don't agree with everything that all of our children seem to think are right, but we are together as a family. And there has come a strong degree of honoring father and mother, and I am convinced that this has happened in our household because our children have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And because of that, there is a strong fellowship, there is a strong koinonia that happens. Daughters are attracted to mothers and to fathers, and sons are attracted to mothers and fathers because, and they're attracted to each other because of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Well, where does it start? It starts with you. It starts with each one of you. And I want to encourage you this morning to tie your family together. To tie it together through Jesus. To allow Him to take total control of your life. And you say, well, it'll never work unless the other family members. Yeah, but it's got to start someplace. So it starts with you. And then as you pray for others, we have seen this happen time after time again. As simply through the prayers of a godly mother praying for her children, or the prayers of a godly young person praying for their parents, that Christ takes over and becomes king. And I am sure that if we took the time this morning, we could have testimony after testimony here this morning of those whose families have been united or who have been reunited through the blood of Jesus Christ as they've come together. So I encourage you with that this morning. Don't be satisfied with simply having relatives. Have brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And I can't tell you what a joy it was Wednesday night when I pulled away from Mount Sterling. It had begun to rain just a little bit, and I was going to drive back to Lexington. And Sarah Martha and Charles, my two cousins, followed me out into the yard. And for me to put my arms around them and to hug them and to kiss them and realize that I was not just hugging and kissing my kissing cousins, that I was hugging and kissing my brother and my sister in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are family. We are united together as one.